them joining the anti-ISIS.
Yeah, you can expect some announcements on Syria. We want to see Syria become a country that's very successful, and I think this leader can do it. I really do. I think this leader can do it. And people said he's had a rough past. We've all had rough pasts. But he has had a rough past, and I think, frankly, if you didn't have a rough past, you wouldn't have a chance. He gets along very well with Turkey, with President Erdogan, who's a great leader. Erdogan's a great leader.
Has President Trump raised with you, discussed with you, your own past affiliation with al-Qaeda terrorism?
I think this is a matter of the past. Now, we did not discuss this actively.
This is my video update on this Tuesday midday, November the 11th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the meeting at the White House between U.S. President Trump and al-Sharaa, also known as al-Jilani, also known as Bizarro Alensky. The former al-Qaeda HTS al-Nusra leader who became the president of Syria and is now the coolest, hottest person to meet. All the world leaders want to meet al-Sharaa al-Jilani. They all want to take a photo with him, including Putin and even U.S. President Trump. So he went to the White House in what is a historic meeting, a Syrian president in the White House meeting with the president of the United States. And Trump called him a tough guy. He said he's a tough guy. I like him. I like him a lot. The former HTS al-Qaeda al-Nusra leader, a tough guy, according to Trump. The protector of Christians. Al-Jilani, al-Sharaa, who just a couple of months ago, they were going after Christians in Syria, right? Christians and Druze in Syria. I believe they still may be going after Christians and Druze in Syria, the unelected president, al-Jilani. So he actually left the White House, I believe, through one of the back doors of the White House. He didn't want to get too much attention on him as he was leaving. But Trump took many photos with Bizarro Alensky, who did suit up. He did wear a suit, something Alensky does not do when he visits the White House. So he also gave an interview to Fox News, al-Jilani. And Fox News asked him about his alleged connections to al-Qaeda and possible alleged connections with 9/11. This is what Fox News asked al-Sharaa al-Jilani Bizarro Alensky. And his reply to Fox News, he gave this interview shortly after his meeting with the U.S. president. His reply to Fox News was, I was young. I was young. I didn't know what was going on. I had nothing to do with any of this al-Qaeda 9/11 stuff. That was pretty much his response to Fox News. If you believe that, the full quote from al-Sharaa was, I was only 19 years old. I was a very young person. I didn't have any decision-making power at the time. I don't have anything to do with it. Al-Qaeda was not present right then in my area, al-Sharaa said. Right? So that was his response to Fox News. Do you have any connection to al-Qaeda, 9/11? Any connection? Anything going on there? I was young. Al-Qaeda wasn't in my area. I had nothing to do with it. I don't have any decision-making power. Oh, boy. So he travels to the United States. He plays basketball with U.S. military officials, CENTCOM U.S. military officials. Plays a game of horse. Al-Sharaa, who has awful form, by the way. And he goes to the IMF, visits the IMF as well. I'm sure he's going to secure some money from the IMF as well. Meets the president of the United States, who says, he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. I like it. I like it a lot. He's tough. Gets a picture with Trump behind the desk at the Oval Office, right? And what's next for Al-Jilani? What is next? Maybe he's going to head over to the FBI offices, collect his $10 million reward, right? Al-Sharaa can meet with Kash Patel, and he'll say, I'm here to collect my $10 million reward. And Kash Patel's going to say, for what? And Al-Sharaa's going to say, I know where Al-Jilani is. And Kash Patel's going to say, really? Where is he? He's right here. Where? Right here. I'm Al-Jilani. Oh, really? Okay. Dan, get 10 million bucks. Get my checkbook. Let's give Al-Sharaa 10 million for finding out where Al-Jilani is. Trump could have collected the 10 million. He missed an opportunity. He had him at the Oval Office in the White House. He had him right there. He could have said, here he is. Cash, 10 million right now. Oh, man. I think today's video is going to be very heavy on the clown worlds. It's going to be very, very heavy on the clown worlds. Let's move on to Sarkozy, who was released from prison. Yeah, he was supposed to be doing 5 years for criminal campaign conspiracy. And he was in prison for about 3 weeks. And he has been released, and he will remain released. He cannot leave France. He cannot speak to any witnesses in his ongoing trial or anything like that. But he is going to remain out of prison until his trial is complete. He has an appeal going on, right? So until the appeal takes place, he's going to be out of prison. Sarkozy, what did he say? He denied any wrongdoing, and he said, and I quote, I responded scrupulously to all summons. This ordeal was imposed upon me, and I endured it, Sarkozy said at a conference after his court hearing on Monday, according to French broadcaster BFM TV. It's hard, very hard. Certainly it is for any prisoner. I would even say it's exhausting. Sarkozy says it's hard. It's hard. The 3 weeks in prison that he endured. All of this is connected to Gaddafi and the claims that the allegations that Gaddafi, I believe the allegation was that Gaddafi funded Sarkozy's campaign to the tune of something like $50 million or something like that. And then Sarkozy was one of the people that oversaw the demise of Gaddafi and Libya, right? Along with Hillary Clinton. Do I have my timeline correct? Hillary Clinton, Sarkozy, all of these nasty people. We came, we saw, he died. And they destroyed Libya under President Obama. Libya was one of the 7 countries that Wesley Clark talked about in that now famous interview. So Sarkozy's punishment was 3 weeks in prison, and now he has to go through this appeals trial. Well, his punishment is he can't leave France. Okay, he can't leave France. That's his punishment for the time being until the appeals trial is held. So let's move on and talk about what is going on in Ukraine. And we have this Naboo raid, which took place yesterday. Remember Naboo, which is the anti-corruption organization set up by the Collective West, actually. They set up Naboo, right? To go after Ukrainian corruption, right? Or at least to go after the corruption that they don't approve of. That's what Naboo is. And a couple of months ago, I talked about this in a video, many videos. Alensky went after Naboo. He wasn't happy with Naboo, and he tried to fold it underneath his administration because allegedly it's the separate independent organization that fights corruption in Ukraine. It's just nonsense, man. It's nonsense. But Alensky wasn't happy with Naboo, and he tried to fold it underneath his control, his administration. And some people in the Collective West got very upset with Alensky, and he had to walk some of it back. And now we have Naboo. They conducted a raid on one of Alensky's pals. I don't know if they're still friends. I think they are still friends and associates, business partners. And they conducted this raid on businessman Timur Mindich, as well as one of Mindich's associates, who is a justice minister, I believe, in Ukraine. And they raided his office, his home, his apartment. By the way, in 2021, Mindich held Alensky's birthday party at this apartment, which was allegedly under Naboo surveillance. So it's been under surveillance for many, many years. And they've been involved in the entertainment game for many, many years, many decades. Mindich and Alensky. Actually, Mindich, get this. This guy was or is the owner or major shareholder of FirePoint, or the founder of FirePoint. He has some connection to FirePoint. I remember when I talked about FirePoint a couple of weeks ago, I talked about FirePoint, which was this entertainment scouting company agency in Ukraine, which then transitioned over to becoming a drone manufacturer. And the New York Times reported that FirePoint landed a $1 billion contract, defense contract, to manufacture drones. And it's also involved in manufacturing the Flamingo. And there are photos circulating on the interwebs of the raid on this guy's properties. And one of the photos has stacks of cash, which is labeled Atlanta and Can City. And the cash is still wrapped. It still has the markings of the Fed, so it's still packaged in with the Federal Reserve markings and everything. It hasn't been unpacked. So this money was, I guess it was stolen. I guess it was delivered to Ukraine from the U.S., from Atlanta or Kansas City, and it was stolen. I guess that's the implication of what this photo is showing. Man. So well, that's what's going on here. And this guy Mindich, he actually fled Ukraine, from what I understand. He was tipped off before the raids happened. And he's Audi 5000 now. There's some nasty stuff going on in Ukraine at the moment, right? I don't know if Alensky is going after Mindich in the same way that he went after Kolomoisky, right? So maybe he's trying to remove his buddy Mindich. And he did the same thing to Kolomoisky, who Kolomoisky actually made Alensky. But then when Alensky got very powerful with the help of the Collective West, they removed Kolomoisky. So I don't know if something like that is going on. I don't know if there are forces that are going after this Mindich guy and this justice minister in order to go after Alensky, because Alensky is connected to them. So maybe we're seeing some collective West forces that would like Zelensky gone. Maybe they would like Zaluzhny in. I talked about the Wall Street Journal article and the German investigators who are saying that Zaluzhny was the mastermind behind Nord Stream. So maybe we're seeing some fighting going on there, some palace intrigue. Some forces would like Zaluzhny removed and not be a threat to Zelensky. Other forces maybe would like Zaluzhny removed and maybe Zaluzhny to come in as president. This could also be just collective West oligarch fighting that's going on. Different sides trying to position themselves to receive the big final payday that's going to be coming to Ukraine in the form of the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets. Maybe that's what we're seeing. Maybe you have a whole bunch of people, institutions, oligarchs, organizations going after each other so that they can be well positioned to eventually receive the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets. So maybe that's what's happening here. Whatever's going on, it's all nasty, man. It's all nasty and dirty and corrupt. But that is the number one democracy in Europe, everybody. Ukraine, the number one democracy in all of Europe. Ukraine. Let's see here. Let me read some of what's going on just to make sure I got the story correct. Timur Mindich, a longtime associate of Zelensky. They also went after Justice Minister Yerman Galuchenko. Nabu also raided this guy, a former energy minister, described by Ukrainian media as Mindich's insider in the government, and also state-run nuclear operator Energotum. So they also went after the nuclear operator as well. They're all involved in this nuclear operator organization as well. It's all bad, man. It's all bad. The agency, Nabu, released several images showing large quantities of cash, including a stack of $100 bills packaged in plastic wrap, some of which had serial numbers and were marked Atlanta and Kansas City. Mindich, a businessman and former entertainment industry figure, is known for his close personal and professional ties to Zelensky. The latter reportedly celebrated his birthday at Mindich's apartment in 2021. Mindich's address was reportedly under Nabu surveillance for several months this year, with the Ukrainian leader allegedly having been recorded. Yeah, the Mindich tapes is what they're calling this in Ukraine. That's what the Ukraine media labeled this. They had these tapes, these surveillance tapes, which allegedly also have Zelensky on them. And a couple of days later, when people started to talk about the Mindich tapes, Zelensky went after Nabu. Right? He tried to fold Nabu underneath his administration. The report also claimed that Mindich is under investigation for money laundering by the U.S. FBI, reportedly in cooperation with Nabu. Mindich's alleged corporate interests include Firepoint, a company that transitioned from a film location scouting agency to one of Ukraine's largest drone manufacturers, as well as the energy industry, including nuclear power generation. Firepoint has previously been accused of securing inflated no-bid government contracts, though it denies wrongdoing of having ties with Mindich. So they deny any wrongdoing. Everything I have said is alleged. Everything I have said in this report is alleged. But that's what's going on in Ukraine. It's messy, man. It is messy. But something tells me, my gut and my instinct tells me, that this is all about the final big payday that's going to be coming to Kiev. From the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets or euro bonds. That's what this is all about. It's always about the money. And I just think there's all kinds of people and oligarchs and organizations that are trying to position themselves so that they can manage the funds that are going to be arriving into Kiev in the next couple of months. Speaking about money to Kiev, U.S. President Trump, he said that the U.S. is not giving money to Ukraine anymore. That's what he said. He said that the U.S. is no longer spending money on Ukraine. It is selling weapons to NATO. He emphasized that arms supplies to Kiev are no longer financed by the United States. Washington receives funding for them through NATO. He sells them to NATO. Trump is very proud of that, that he's selling the weapons to the U.S.-controlled NATO. And then NATO is giving the weapons to Ukraine, right? Everything's on the up and up, right? No funny business there. What a mess, man. What a freaking mess. And it doesn't end with this Nauvoo investigation that is currently unfolding, this palace intrigue that is taking place in Kiev, of which the collective West and the United States and the Trump administration is without a doubt caught up in now. Yep, his war, that means all of this nasty stuff that's going on is also going to be owned by the Trump administration as well. But you have a scandal with regards to the energy facilities, which are now not operational. And this scandal has to do with the Russian strikes on the energy facilities. And the strikes were devastating to the point where you now have indefinite blackouts in pretty much all of the major cities in Ukraine. A lot of damage done to the power plants and the energy facilities in Ukraine. And when the Russians first hit the energy facilities, the energy companies, or the energy company, they came out with a statement saying that the damage was really bad. This time around, the damage was devastating. And so the scandal is that the Zelensky government, his administration, then contacted the energy companies. And they said, what are you guys doing by publishing this? You're giving talking points to Russia by saying that the damage was extensive and catastrophic. So what you need to do is you need to take back that statement, remove that statement, and put out another statement saying that the facilities were hit, but we're going to repair them and everything is going to be okay. Because for Zelensky, it's all about PR, media optics, and he needs to present the picture to the West that everything is under control. And so that is the scandal. And the problem is that after the energy companies, they did as the Zelensky government told them to do, you then had these catastrophic blackouts, these indefinite blackouts that they cannot fix, that they cannot resolve. And the whole thing is just a complete shit show. Zelensky's office accused of energy damage cover-up. Hysterical officials allegedly demand changes after company confirmed the effectiveness of Russian long-range strikes. Let me read you a little bit of what is going on here. The state-owned energy company Centrenergo, which operates two major thermal power plants in Ukraine, posted an emotional statement on Saturday admitting that the strikes had wiped out months of repair work and halted electricity generation entirely. The message was later replaced with a routine update claiming that restoration efforts are underway as quickly as possible. According to Ukranskaya Pravda, the retraction came after direct intervention from the government. The Zelensky office called and scolded us, asking why we were spreading panic and giving a propaganda gift to the Russians, a company insider told the outlet, which described the reaction as hysterical. The Zelensky administration reportedly puts significant effort into avoiding negative publicity, particularly as Ukraine remains dependent on Western financial and military aid. So that's the scandal there. We're not done. We're not done with everything going on in Ukraine, all of the intrigues and plots and schemes that are happening in Ukraine, because according to the FSB, now, I don't know if I believe this story, I'm very, very skeptical about this story on all sides, on the FSB side, on what they're saying about Ukraine, on the British side. I don't know. The whole thing seems a bit odd, but I'll report on it. I will report on it, but I just want to say that I'm very, very skeptical about this. Anyway, the FSB is reporting that they foiled a Ukraine-British plot to steal a MiG-31. Now, according to the FSB, they are claiming that Ukraine and the MI6, they approached some pilots, some MiG-31 pilots, and they wanted the pilots to take the MiG-31 and fly over Romania. And this would create some sort of tension between NATO and Ukraine. But what they didn't tell the pilots, at least my understanding of this FSB report, what they didn't tell the pilots was that they were going to direct Romania, NATO, to shoot down the plane that they had stolen or hijacked and were told to fly over Romanian airspace. And that plane was going to be shot down, which would mean that the pilot would have been killed as the plane was shot down. And then this would cause some sort of NATO-Russia smash, right? Some Article 5 situation and tension. And one of the pilots claimed that they offered him $3 million. Now, the whole thing seems a bit weird. The whole thing seems very, very weird. They wanted the pilots to fly over an airbase near Constanta, Romania. The pilots declined, and then they went to the FSB, and allegedly they told the FSB about the plot. Anyway, a strange story. Possible, it's possible that this happened. It's also possible that this did not happen. So I just need to say that about this story. So let's now turn our attention to the Belgium drone story, which I talked about yesterday. And I said that the UK was going to send drone specialists to Belgium in order to deal with all of the drones over the skies of Belgium, right? So the UK specialists were being called in. We also have French and German specialists who are being called in to deal with all of the drone incidents that are happening in Belgium. And in my video update yesterday, I put out the theory that what I think is going on here is I think that they're trying to create hysteria. When I mean they, I mean the West, NATO, the EU, three-letter agencies. I don't know. They are trying to create hysteria with these drones. And they're hinting that these drones might have some connection to Russia, even though they have not publicly stated that these are Russian drones. They always throw out the hints that this has some connection to Russia. And I'll get to what the German Defense Minister Pistorius said, because he actually does make a direct connection to Russia in a statement that he put out there. But anyway, they want to create this Russia hysteria in Belgium at this exact moment, because they want the Belgium government to tell the people of Belgium, we are going to give over the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets, knowing that it's going to do a ton of damage to our economy, but we have to give it over to Zelensky for national security reasons, because they need the money in order to fight Russia, who is creating all this chaos in Belgium with these drones. So that's the reason that you have all of these drone stories happening in Belgium at the moment. At least that's what I think is going on. And that is why you have British specialists in Belgium and French specialists and German specialists. By the way, did you guys know that Belgium actually has an anti-drone squad? They have this anti-drone team that they put together 4 years ago. And their sole purpose is to deal with drones. But for some reason, they're not being called up to deal with these drones. You have to bring the British in. You have to bring the French. You have to bring the Germans in. And you have to create all this hysteria and drama and buzz. I think this is all about creating the dynamics, the excuse that the government needs in order to green light the $140 billion to the Green Goblin. Pistorius, going back to Pistorius, the defense minister of Germany, get this, he is saying the opposite. He is saying the opposite, but in saying the opposite, what he is actually doing is proving my theory correct. So Pistorius, the German defense minister, on the drones in Belgium issue, said, and I quote, "This is a measure aimed at spreading insecurity, at fear-mongering in Belgium. Don't you dare to touch the frozen assets. This cannot be interpreted any other way," Pistorius said at a Friday press conference, Reuters reported. So Pistorius, his logic is that the Russians are sending drones into Belgium as a warning to the authorities in Belgium to not green light the frozen assets to Ukraine, right? Does that make any sense at all? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Russia is sending drones all the way to Belgium from Russia. It's not that close, everybody. But anyway, they're sending drones all the way to Belgium so that they can send a warning to the Belgium government. Don't hand over the Russian frozen assets, or else what? Or else we're going to continue to send drones into Belgium? I don't know. What's the threat? What's the threat there that Russia is sending to Belgium, right? Anyway, that's Pistorius's logic for you. And he says you can't interpret this any other way, right? When they say stuff like that, they're basically saying, no, this needs to be interpreted in a completely different way. And that way is the opposite way. He is proving my theory correct. That's what I think is happening with this statement from Pistorius. His statement is basically proving what I am saying to be the correct way at looking at the drone activity over Belgium. It's about the $140 billion going to the Green Goblin, everybody. Thank you, Defense Minister Pistorius. What does Germany find these people, man, to be in government? Habeck, Annalena Baerbock, Olaf Scholz, BlackRock Mertz, Boris Pistorius. That's some crazy, weird logic from the defense minister. We're going to send drones into your airspace in order to prevent you from sending the Russian frozen assets to Ukraine. Okay, Pistorius, gotcha. Oh, man. All right, let's continue. I told you that this video is going to be heavy on clown worlds. Very heavy on clown worlds. And we move on to, I believe, Sirski is who was referenced in this New York Post article. The New York Post has an article with the title, "Russia pours 150,000 troops into latest drive to overrun Ukraine in Donetsk. Really a tense situation." Okay. Yeah, I think it was Sirski that is referenced in this New York Post article. 150,000. Yeah, you have to send 150,000 troops. This is actually very standard military tactics, military practice. The Greeks, the Spartans use this tactic, right? With 300. So first you have the 300, like what Russia has in Pokrovsk. First you have the 300. They do all of the heavy lifting, all of the work, and then you have to send in the 150,000 troops to secure the city and do the mop up and the cleanup activity. That's very, very standard military procedure. First you send the 300, then you send the 150,000. You still have 60 in Kupiansk as well. Let's not forget about the 60 Russian soldiers in Kupiansk. And the reports are that the 60 Russian soldiers are capturing Kupiansk, and they're now operating in the center of the city. The 60 Russian soldiers, according to Volodymyr Zelensky. Man, Sirski is trying really, really hard to cover his butt. He is throwing everything he has out there, all the propaganda he can think of to cover his butt, because when Ukraine has to Well, in the collective West, Ukraine may never accept that Pokrovsk and Kupiansk have been captured. But when eventually the collective West accept the fact that Pokrovsk has been captured, Syrsky's in big trouble. He is in very, very big trouble, and he knows it. So he's desperately trying to cover his butt with statements like this to the New York Post. So should we do some clown worlds? Do I even need to say, let's do some clown worlds? I feel like I don't need to even say it. By the way, Putin is going to be traveling to India, everybody. That is confirmed by Peskov. So it looks like the relations between India and Russia are not so bad as Trump is making them out to be, right? India is not buying any more Russian oil. Modi is done with Russia, and he's done with Russian oil. Well, I think that that Putin and Modi, who get along very, very well and are very good friends, and India and Russia are very good friends, I think you're going to have a very constructive meeting between the two, and they are going to make big deals. They're going to put together some very big deals, not only in energy, but also in defense and military production. Yeah, they're going to sign some big partnership deals, Modi and Putin. I don't like it. I don't like it. That Putin going to see Modi, I don't like it. Al-Jalani, I like it. Anyway, staying with Putin and staying with the New York Post. Oh my God, we're back to Putin is having health issues. Yeah, the New York Post is saying that Putin on a front. Get it? Putin on a front. Putin on a front. Putin's swollen and sore hand sparks new wave of speculation over Russian president's health. The 73-year-old, whose right hand has long been a source of health rumors, was seen clenching his hand tightly in discomfort during an event with loyalists. Ah, that event with loyalists. Those loyalists. Those loyalists. They really got to Putin. He started clenching his hand. His right hand. I believe Putin is left-handed, isn't he? Anyway, his right hand. And a lot of people are jumping on this clenching of his swollen right hand. Yep, Putin is sick. Putin is ill. We're back to this one. That's how you know things are going really, really bad for NATO, for the U.S., for the collective West, and for Ukraine and the Green Goblin, when they have to recycle the Putin is sick narrative. That's how you know things are going catastrophically wrong for the collective West in this proxy war. So that is the New York Post. Politico is reporting that Trump has threatened to sue the BBC for $1 billion over editing coverage of him. I believe Trump actually posted about this on Truth Social as well. He wants a complete retraction from the BBC, or else he will be suing them for $1 billion. And the BBC is going to retract everything. They fired the CEO and another high official, high executive, high level executive at the BBC. So I believe that they're going to have no problem retracting the doctored images that they put out there, which is really interesting because the BBC has been going after Trump since 2016. But these images are what Trump's concerned with, this doctored image that appeared on the BBC show Panorama, or something like that. He's forgotten about all the other things that the BBC was doing to Trump, or all the other messaging that the BBC was putting out there against Trump, going all the way back to 2016 and Russiagate and all of that stuff. The BBC was fully on board, fully aligned with CNN and MSNBC and all of the U.S. Anti-Trump media going all the way back to 2016. But anyway, he wants a billion. He wants $1 billion if they do not retract. So that is the BBC. He should sanction them is what he should do, in my opinion. Election meddling from a foreign government, right? The BBC, the British government, meddling in U.S. elections. That's what he should do, is sanction them. But he's saying he's going to sue them for $1 billion, knowing that they're going to retract. Anyway, let's do a final clown world. Oh, and wrap up this this crazy video. And we are going to go to the Financial Times. And they have an article with the title, EU to set up intelligence unit under Ursula von der Leyen. Body to collate material from national agencies and improve its operational use. Ursula is going to set up an EU intelligence unit, an intel agency, a three-letter agency, which is going to be run out of the office of the European Union Commission under the control of Ursula. Ursula and intelligence unit. Ursula and intelligence unit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if those two words actually go hand in hand. Ursula and intelligence unit. It's actually pretty scary what the EU is doing. Forget about Ursula. Forget about Ursula. She's not important. You got to look at the globalist agenda. They're now looking to put together an intel agency. They've got the chat control that they're going to be rolling out. And the other day I talked about their Ministry of Truth that they're also putting together. Forget about Ursula. She's just today's puppet in Brussels for the globalists. What they're trying to do is actually very, very sinister, very alarming, and should cause everybody living in the European Union to be very concerned with what they're putting together. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. Check us out on Substack as well. And give a like to this video. Share this video. Subscribe to this channel. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.